Thank you for the time we have to meet this evening, to learn about your word. I pray that you would allow this message tonight to be an encouragement and help to those that are here. And Lord, I pray that you would have your hand of blessing upon all the ministries that are going forward this evening, to the children, the teenagers. And we're thankful, Father, for each one who is serving you in various capacities tonight. Would you pour out blessings upon us, because we are a needy people and we desire your very best. Help us, I pray, to honor you tonight, to be encouraged and strengthened for the remainder of the week. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. And if you would be so kind, please turn in your Bible to Psalm 119 as we get started here again this evening. Psalm 119 in our series about how to study the Bible. And really, this series is divided into two parts, and then I have these two lessons in the middle. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So the first part of this series, we talk about some of the principles of Bible study. And then the last half of the series, where we're going to be going next week, we're going to do a practical walkthrough of Bible study, how to do it. I call that the test drive. And then right here in the middle, between those two portions, I have these two lessons on how to choose a good study Bible. I started that right before Thanksgiving and finishing up tonight. But we're right here in Psalm 119. And look again at verse number 97. The psalmist writes, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." So the psalmist here, first of all, professes his love for God's law. Of course, that's talking about the Word of God. That's talking about your Bible. Obviously, David did not have all 66 books of the Bible, but those that he had, he loved. And he loved it, and then because it was precious to him, he lived as if it were precious to him. He made God's law his meditation, a primary focus of his thinking throughout the day. Let me just ask you a question here. How much of your time throughout the day is spent thinking about the promises and the truths and the revelations of God's Word? Do you ever spend any time during your day thinking about God's Word, meditating on His Word? Or are you just completely consumed by the cares of life? So one great way to make sure that we are taking time every day to think about God's Word is to make a time, to set aside a time on a daily basis to read the Bible. This, I think, is one of the basic disciplines of the Christian life. It's one of the basic steps of discipleship that every believer ought to implement into his or her life. You ought to have a time in your day where you are absorbing, where you are reading, where the Word of God is getting into you. That's a basic building block of the authentic Christian life. If you're not reading the Bible, my friend, what kind of a Christian life are you living? I can tell you what kind of Christian life you're going to be living. If you're not in the Word, you're going to be living in that dry and barren wasteland that Pastor Nate preached about on Sunday morning. You're going to be living in a place of a lack of satisfaction and joy and fullness and fulfillment, because God never intended you to live apart from His Word. He intended you to live in His Word, to drink it, to eat it, to meditate on it, to make it the love of your life. And if you really love God, you will love His Word, and you'll seek it out on a daily basis. But you know, even if we spend time reading the Word, it's easy to forget what we read as other thoughts crowd into our mind during the day. Does that ever happen to you? It happens to me. You know, I'll read my Bible maybe in the morning, and then later in the day, maybe at the end of the day, I'll go back and I'll review what I read in the morning, or maybe the next morning I'll review and I'll look back at what the passage I read the previous day, and I'll go, "Oh yeah, if only I had remembered that yesterday when I really needed to remember it, but I completely forgot all about what I had read." Am I the only one that's ever happened to? Okay. It's easy for us. Yes, we spend time in the Word, and then we put it down, we go about our day, we don't give it another thought, and it evaporates, and it just disappears. And so it's not just enough to read, but we have to really make the effort to apply it and to remember it. And that's one reason why meditating as he says here in verse number 97, is my meditation all the day. That's why meditating on God's word is so important. Meditation, by the way, is not a passive activity. You know, there's a thought from Eastern mystical religion that meditation is the idea of emptying your mind and just, you know, the void. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about active, cognitive thinking over what you have learned and read and what you know of the Bible. And one way to notch up our meditation on God's word is not just to read the Bible, but to study it, to dig a little bit deeper. Would you turn with me back to Psalm 60, verse 62 of this same psalm, verse number 62. Verse number 62, and look what the psalmist says. Let me make sure I find the right verse here. That's the wrong verse. Okay. I have no idea where the verse is. I wrote down the wrong reference. Maybe I just can't read. Okay. You know, there's a lot of verses in Psalm 119. Oh, boy. Yeah, well, I have no idea where it is right now, and I'm getting more and more embarrassed as I think about it. Okay. I'll tell you what it says. It says something about digging into God's word and finding in there treasures like great spoil. The words great spoil. If somebody finds that, I got a dollar bill for you after the service. And the idea of that word, great spoil, is kind of like buried treasure. You know, that you dig into the word, and it's like you find their treasures. They're not lying on the surface. You got to dig for them. You got to dig a little bit deeper to find those treasures in God's word. But it is worth it when you find it. You know, if I just said to you tonight that there's a buried treasure over in the empty lot across the street, you know, the church's lot, that somewhere in that lot, about 100 years ago, some pirate buried a treasure and it's out there somewhere, what would happen? I think the auditorium would empty out. Everybody would be grabbing a shovel. They'd be going across the street and digging for all they were worth because, hey, if there's a treasure across the street, I want to find it. You know, you'd be digging it out. And then the person who found the treasure, just imagine that person's celebration. Woo, hey, I found the treasure. 162. Thank you very much. My dad earned a dollar. I didn't say I have a dollar for every single person who found the verse. Now, yes. Okay. Let's look at it. 162. He says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Thank you very much. I was missing the one in the 62. Oh boy, that's 100. Just 100 verses off. Have you ever had the joy of finding a gem or nugget in God's word? Because you took a little time to dig a little bit deeper, you studied a little bit more, and then God showed you something from the word that you didn't see on the surface, but because you dug a little deeper, you spent a little more time, you spent a little bit more time meditating, thinking about it, understanding it, then the light came on. You saw it. It was like a gemstone. It was like a diamond that just scintillated with the glory of God. Well, if you want to do that kind of Bible study, I would recommend one tool that will help you is a good study Bible. And so that brings us back here tonight to our discussion of how to choose a good study Bible. And last time I shared with you, I think there's three considerations if you're going to pick a study Bible. Number one is translation. That really narrows it down. I recommend the King James Version, and that's what we're talking about in this lesson here, are those study Bibles that are available in that version. Secondly, you want to think about the primary purpose. Are you looking for a general purpose study Bible, or are you looking for one that has a specific focus? We'll talk about both groups a little bit later on in the lesson. But then third, you want to think about specific strengths and weaknesses of each study Bible because each one is distinctive in its own way. And as I said last time, one way to get the most out of that is maybe even to have more than one that you would use in different situations or applications. Now, as far as general purpose study Bibles are concerned, there are five that made my short list here.
We talked about the first three already, the ones that are in red there on the slide. And then I have two more of these that I want to talk about with you tonight. But let me just review, if I could, with you about these first three. First of all, the Scofield Reference Bible. We talked about the strengths of that. First of all, is familiarity. It's the original study Bible. It's been around the longest, goes back about 100 years, been revised twice since then. Secondly, it has a connected topical reference system if you have an old Scofield, which is the one that I would recommend. I would recommend if you're going to go Scofield, go old. Don't go with one of the revisions. But then third, it's strongly dispensational. Weaknesses, it does promote the gap theory, and the notes are not as detailed as in some other study Bible. Probably the biggest strength of the Scofield, though, are the notes and the topical reference system. And then, secondly, we talked about the Ryrie Study Bible. It has some strengths as well. It has really good introductions, outlines, and timelines for each book of the Bible. So that introductory material is strong in the Ryrie. It has many charts and graphs, additional articles and resources. It's also in a highly readable typesetting and layout. It has wider margins. If you like taking notes, the cross-references are in the outside margins. It makes it a little bit easier to take notes in that Bible. The weaknesses, though, it does have fewer cross-references than other study Bibles. And one thing that bugs him about the Ryrie is that in the notes, he will often question passages that are omitted in the critical text, which casts doubt on those passages, might make somebody confused and wonder whether they're really part of the Bible. And then third, we have the Holman KJV Study Bible. The Holman KJV Study Bible. We learned that the strengths there, full color layout on every page, full color maps, photos, and illustrations scattered throughout. It has in-depth essays on specific topics, detailed explanatory notes, a dictionary of the King's English. That can be very helpful. But it does have some weaknesses as well. The explanatory notes are varying quality. That's because it was done by a committee, so certain people wrote the notes for some books and others wrote notes for other books, so it just depends on who wrote the notes for that particular book. Size and weight can be a little bit of an issue. It's a little bit bigger one to carry around, especially if you have the full-size Bible. By the way, I did want to mention that I did bring all these back. I couldn't put them on the communion table tonight because of the Christmas decorations, but they're right there on the first row pew. So if you want to come up and look at these, this will be the last time I'll have all these out. And I would encourage you to take a look at them if you would like to look at them for yourself prior to going out and making a purchase. It would be a good idea maybe to look at one. But that brings me now to number four on our list of general purpose study Bibles. That is the King James Study Bible. The King James Study Bible. Comments that I'm going to make on this one pertain to the second edition. I do have a copy of the second edition down there. This study Bible has been around for quite a while as well. It was originally put out by Falwell and Liberty University. They still have the copyright, but basically in the old days, I guess it would have been like the Jerry Falwell study Bible. But it's the second edition of that. It's been revised and improved. It has several strengths, okay? First of all, it has larger type. It also has a readable layout. It's not a large print Bible, but a little bit larger type than maybe in some. It also has, throughout, some helpful keys, which are just short articles, short explanations that will help you to understand and apply important concepts in the reading. Third, it has detailed explanatory notes. I would say that they're on the more detailed side of study Bibles. It has in-text maps and charts. The maps are nicer than those that are in the Ryrie Study Bible, but they're not as nice as those that are in the Holman Study Bible. But it has good maps and charts. And then the concordance includes the Strong's numbers. That can be helpful if you want to use other Bible study resources that are keyed to the Strong's numbers. You say, what are the Strong's numbers? Well, that is a numbering system that is associated with the Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible. In that exhaustive concordance, the guy who wrote it, a guy by the name of Strong, Augustus Strong, I think his name was. By the way, you've heard the old adage, right? There were three popular Bible concordances, okay? There was the Strong's, there was the Young's, and then there was the Cruden's. And so that's Strong's for the strong, Young's for the young, and Cruden's for the crude. All right, I'm just kidding, okay? But that's kind of an old
old expression, but anyway, Strong's, the Strong's Concordance, he gave a number to every word in the Bible. Okay, so every word in the Bible has its unique number, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And many resources use those Strong's numbers as a way of cataloging the words in the Bible. So that can be helpful if you want to know what those are. As far as the weaknesses of this study Bible are concerned, there really are no significant weaknesses to this study Bible. It is just a good all-round study Bible. I will also want to mention that this study Bible is now marketed in a full-color edition. So it is called the Thomas Nelson KJV Study Bible. So if you see that, the Thomas Nelson KJV Study Bible, that's basically the same Bible, but in a color version. So it would be updated with color. I don't have one of those. The one that I have is in black and white. But that's probably what you would see it being sold as today. All right, so I got a couple, I got one or so pictures from this study Bible here. All right, so here is a picture of a page. This is from Genesis chapter 1. And you'll notice that there are quite a few notes here about creation. You know, this is one of the things I always look at in a study Bible to quickly evaluate where it stands. And the notes here are pretty good. The creation chapter of the Bible. Down here in the corner, you'll see one of those keys, articles. This is one about the image and likeness of God. So it gives more explanation of what that means, and it illustrates it, and it applies it. So there's an explanation, an illustration, application of that concept. So that's good. That's helpful material. Obviously, you've got a two-column format. You got your cross references here in the middle. There are some other notes here as well, translation notes, things like that, that you'll find in the middle. So there you have a well-rounded study Bible. Good conservative notes, helpful application, a readable layout format, it has a lot to recommend it. Okay, let's go now to the next one. This is the Henry Morris Study Bible. This is the last in our list of general purpose study Bibles. The Henry Morris Study Bible is an updated version of an older study Bible that was called the Defender Study Bible. So if you have a Defender Study Bible, that's basically the same notes, but it's a different, older edition of that study Bible. Now it's called the Henry Morris. It has a lot of strengths as well. The number one strength would be the explanatory notes. They are high quality. They are detailed. They are especially strong in certain areas, apologetics, creationism, also the books of Genesis and Revelation, because the man who wrote this study Bible, who wrote the notes for it, he also wrote commentaries on the books of Genesis and Revelation. Henry Morris, the guy who this study Bible is named for, the author of the notes, he was one of the primary founders, or we could even say he was the father of the modern creation science movement. And so he brings many insights to his analysis of Scripture in these areas where the notes are particularly strong, apologetics, creationism, things like that. But in addition to that, the study Bible has translation helps. It has a larger font for readability. I find that to be helpful. It has a topical index. That is an unusual feature in a study Bible. You can actually look up various topics in the back of the Bible and find out where they are talked about in the Scripture. It also has many helpful and unique appendices and articles on biblical creationism. Again, these appendices are unique. You won't find stuff like this in any other study Bible. It has many articles. It has one gem in particular that's called a Creationist Defense of the King James Bible, which I think is one of the best and most concise explanations of the textual issue that I have read. There are a few weaknesses to the study Bible. Number one, it has few charts and graphs. There are some maps, but it pretty much has no charts or graphs, okay? So if you're a chart and graph person, this is not
going to be probably the one that you would be drawn to. And then the other negative of it is the size and weight. And so let me just show you. This is my Henry Morris Study Bible. So you can see that is a fairly hefty Bible. Now you could carry that to church, and I know some do have. This is a particular edition of it that might be a little thicker and fatter than some other ones that you could buy, but it is a pretty hefty Bible, and yet it is an excellent resource. If you were going to have a study Bible that you had on your desk that you used for study at your desk, for example, this would be a great one to have there, because it is an excellent resource. Let me show you a page here from the Henry Morris Study Bible. So here we have a page from Psalm 22. Whoops, went too far. Let me go back. I was trying to get my laser pointer. There we go. This is Psalm 22, which is known as the Crucifixion Psalm. There are many specific prophecies in that psalm of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You will notice here that he's got a lot of these explained throughout the notes in the bottom. Over here you have Psalm 23. Let me just point out a few other things here. When we're up here, there are two things that you will see in the text. You'll have a little R. R means that there is a reference, okay? The T is for a translation help. And so those things are actually just printed right next to the verse, okay? So like the little T, I shall not want, the idea of want as in lack, something that you would need. So if you look on to the next verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, little T there, literally, pastures of tender green grass. That's nice to know. Kind of the idea of the green pastures there. So the cross references in this Bible are found right after each verse. So it's a little bit different layout, but it's very readable. And the translation helps are helpful. For example, over here, verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. What does that mean? That means they've surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They have encircled me. Those are helpful explanations. And then, obviously, you have a lot of notes here, so really good stuff in the notes as well. All right, so that is the Henry Morris Study Bible. And I got another page there, actually, for that one. I wanted to show you the table of contents page so that you could see what articles are in the appendices for this Bible. So you have all these different ones: authenticity of the biblical text, creationism versus evolutionist worldviews, a logic of biblical creation, outline of earth history as revealed in the book of Genesis, global processes indicating recent creation, the universal flood, Bible-believing scientists of the past, and so on and so forth. Down here he's got one on the creationist faith of our founding fathers. And then that one I mentioned, Creationist Defense of the King James Bible. So there's all kinds of articles at the end of this Bible. That's one reason why it's a little bit fatter than other Bibles might be. There you have the Henry Morris Study Bible. Now let's move on to some special purpose study Bibles. There are quite a few special purpose study Bibles out there. And as I said before, some of them are gimmicky. There are two that I want to talk about tonight that are really excellent resources that I think are worthy of our discussion. Can't cover all special purpose Bibles, but I want to talk about these two. First of all, let's talk about the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which is also known for many years as the Thompson Chain for short. Okay, the Thompson Chain is short for the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And this Bible is all about topical study. So if you want to study the Bible topically, if you want help, notes that will help you to trace a topic through the Bible, this is the study Bible for you. Its primary strength is topical study and sermon preparation. It builds upon the idea of the chain reference system of the Strong's, but it takes it to several levels up from that. It uses a numbered chain reference system. And you know, as far as preparing lessons or sermons, you can get a topical outline right out of this Bible just by looking at the different verses that are listed under a topic. So you can go to a topic in the back, you could look at the verses there, you could develop a topical outline on that subject right out of this Bible. You could preach that, almost just preach it or teach it right out of there. Obviously, you'd want to do a little more study than that, but it's very helpful for topical study. Other features, it does have an archaeological supplement in the back. That is a little bit unusual. And it has several unique and helpful appendices. The appendices in the back of this study Bible are really unlike any other study Bible. There are lots of they're hand-drawn graphs and charts, cool nuggets of information. I'm going to show you a page from one of those in just a moment. But what are the weaknesses? The weaknesses are, first of all, there are no explanatory notes in this study Bible. The study Bible does not give you explanatory notes. It's all about topical study. So there are no explanatory notes. And then the book analyses and other helpful notes are found at the back instead of alongside the text. So if you look in the back, you will find an analysis of each book. In the back there, there is information about the book, but it's found at the back in one of the appendices. And so it's not in the same location as the book is in the Bible. You got to go to the back for that. But let me show you a couple of pages from the Thompson Chain Reference Study Bible. So here is a page from the book of Ephesians. Okay, so this is not a large print Bible. Okay, this is going to be probably going to be a little smaller typesetting there. If so, you know, you might need your cheaters or whatever. I would, to read mine. But I wanted to just show you, for example, okay, so here we are in Ephesians 4, and right about here, Paul begins to his prayer for the church. So he talks about how he bows his knee, and he prays for them, and he goes through that all the way to the end of the chapter. So over here, you will see a topic, Paul's prayer for the church. So these are like topic headings. They're not in the text, they're over to the side. But there you have a topic heading, and underneath that you will see several topics listed. Number 2839, prayer for the church. 2825, notable prayers. 1246, our Father. 740, spiritual relationships. These are all topics that are related to that heading. So if you're interested in any of those topics, then you would flip to the back and you would look at that topic in the back, and that's where you would find other references on that particular topic. Now, if you want to just follow it through, it gives you the next reference here in the list, Philippians 1:4. So that's the next one in the list. But if you want to see them all, you'd go to the back and you would look up, for example, 2839. So I've got a page here now for you from the back. Okay, so this is the chain reference in the back of the Bible. And 2839 is right down here. Prayers. It's under the heading of prayers. Actually, there are lots of topics about prayer. All these are about prayer. But here's 2839 for the church. Prayer for the church. And here are as a list of references dealing with prayers for the church. Now, this is what I would consider a smaller topic. Okay, so this one, they just list the references. But you'll notice for other topics, they actually print all the verses underneath that heading. So, for example, up here, number 2834, private devotions of Christ. He had his morning devotions, evening prayer, solitary communion, all-night prayer, only to disciples near, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the verses themselves are printed there. So you can just see all the verses that go with that topic right in the back. So some of them are considered to be more major topics. He puts all the verses. Others are more minor topics, and he just lists the references. But that is how you can study that topic throughout your Bible. It's all keyed to the number. So this study Bible is about the synthetic principle of Bible study. We learned that
comparing Scripture with Scripture, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, allowing the more easier passages to shed light on the more difficult passages. This study Bible is all about that. Let's see. Oh, and I got one more page. I wanted to show you what the back of the Bible is like. So here's an interesting page from the back of the Bible. This is called the Tree of Paul's Life. So he's got this thing graphed out here like a tree, family, childhood. I can't read that, later life. And then over here, he's got it all fully outlined. So if you want to know about the life of the Apostle Paul, it's all fully outlined there for you. Verses with each one. He's even got it like these numbers here correspond with the numbers in the list. And that's how you can study there the life of the Apostle Paul. It's just a sample of some of the stuff you'll find in the back of this study Bible. It's pretty cool. It's been around for a long time. This is one of the older study Bibles in our list, but a very helpful resource. Then there's one more I want to tell you about, and that's the Key Word Study Bible. The Key Word Study Bible. And its primary strengths are word definitions, word studies, and grammatical insights. So if you want to do that close-up of each, of your Bible study going word by word, this is the study Bible for you. So that's where its strengths lie. It has other features. The primary feature is the excellent concordance and dictionaries in the back. It has the best concordance and dictionaries of any study Bible. It uses a pared-down version of the AMG Word Study Dictionary, which was produced by a guy by the name of Spyros Zodiates. And that is an excellent resource. I use the full version of that in my own study as one of my Bible dictionaries that I regularly consult for both the meaning of Hebrew words and Greek words. He has a lot of information. It's a very detailed. This is kind of a pared-down version of that, but it's the best word dictionaries, both Hebrew and Greek, in the back that you'll find in any study Bible. The weaknesses are that it has fewer explanatory notes than in other study Bibles. It does have some notes, but there are a lot of pages that don't have any notes. And so if you're looking for a study Bible that will give you an explanation in layman's terms of what various verses mean, this is not the study Bible for you. But if you want to do your own digging into the text, if you want to get under the hood for yourself, so to speak, then this might be the one for you. It does have introductions to the book, to each book, but they're not lengthy, but it does have those. So, for example, here is a page from the book of Romans. So the introduction to the book of Romans. So here is the introductory material. So there is some there, not a lot, but there is a little bit. Here are some explanatory notes. Again, not a lot of depth there, but there is something there. Most of those do focus more on the language, on the linguistic issues. But if you will notice throughout, there are words that are underlined. And these underlined words have numbers after them. Okay? For example, look over here at verse number 18. It's for the wrath of God. Look at the word wrath there. The number after it is 3709. Okay, and 3709 is telling you what number to look up in the back of the Bible. And that is keyed to the Strong's number. And that 3709 is a superscript number, so it's raised up a little bit. That tells you that there is more information on that particular word that has been added from the AMG Word Study Dictionary. Whereas if the number is a superscript, is a subscript number, so it's a little bit below the line, that tells you that the information in the back of the Bible about that word is just the Strong's Dictionary information only. So there's an example of that. If you look at verse number 22, so over here, they became fools. 3471, notice that is a subscript number, not a superscript number. So that tells you there's not as much information about that word in the back, but the superscript numbers tell you there's more information in the back.
This Bible also provides grammatical information by using codes. And so I'm going to try to show you this. So if in verse number 18, you will see a PPT right before the word hold. You see a little PPT right there? That means present participle. Now I say, what is a present participle? If you don't know, that's okay. But if you do, that's maybe helpful information, all right? But basically what that means is that it's an ongoing action. They are holding it in the present, this very moment they are doing this action. In verse number 19, up here, you'll see that little A-O in front of hath showed. The little A-O stands for aorist. That tells you that's an aorist tense verb for an action that took place at a particular point in time in the past. All right, so that is getting you into the Greek grammar there and giving you some grammatical information. The little keys, like right here, there's a little key. It's kind of hard to see because of the photocopy, but that tells you that there is there's a note at the bottom. So here's the corresponding note in the bottom. So it is an excellent resource, but it is a very particular purpose. This Bible is for people who like to do their own grammatical study and word studies, and if that's you, then this is very helpful. Now, there are some other study Bibles I wanted to mention here before I close. First of all, there are a couple that sometimes you might see. They're popular, but they're not available in the King James Version, which is why I did not cover them. MacArthur Study Bible and the Jeremiah Study Bible. And so I didn't cover them in this explanation. The closest that those two get to the King James Version is the New King James Version. But I would mention that if you want the notes from the MacArthur Study Bible, you can get his one-volume Bible commentary, which, as I understand, contains all the notes from the Study Bible and more. I actually brought my MacArthur commentary, one-volume commentary. If you want to look at that, you can as well. But MacArthur has some good notes. The place you have to be a little bit more careful about what he has to say is when he's talking about matters of soteriology, because he does tend to be quite Reformed and Calvinistic, especially in that area. Jeremiah Study Bible has lots of good information. It does not have any cross references. I really don't have a copy of that. I haven't really looked that closely at it. But then there are some study Bibles that I do not recommend. These are some that I would encourage you to stay away from. Bibles to stay away from, first of all, the Fire Bible, which is Pentecostal and charismatic in its orientation. It is not trustworthy. The Life in the Spirit Bible, or the Full Life Bible, that is also Pentecostal in its orientation. So there would be some pretty dramatic theological differences that we would have with the notes there. The Dake Reference Bible. This one has become kind of popular. I don't really see the appeal of it. It's very hard to read because the fonts are minuscule, but the notes are not trustworthy. It just has all kinds of. I took a little time to look at one time. I went to Genesis chapter number 1, and I found in the notes the gap theory, creative ages, all kinds of stuff was in the notes there. So that's about as far as I got. It just, you know, no thanks. So the Dake Reference Bible, I don't recommend that. The Apologetic Study Bible, that one is only available in a different version of the Bible called the Christian Standard Bible. It has a lot of good information, but it also tends to raise questions without providing clear answers. And that's always a problem for me, I think, because that can lead to confusion. So I think if you're going to raise questions, then you got to provide people with the answers. Don't just ask questions and leave them hanging. But sometimes the notes in that study Bible could do that. And then there's another one called the Rainbow Study Bible. This one, just to set you at ease, has nothing to do with LGBTQ. It's just an attempt. It's not really a study Bible. But if you do a search for study Bibles online, this one may come up, okay, because it's called the Rainbow Study Bible. It's really just an attempt to color code about every verse of Scripture according to 12 themes. Well, to me, that is kind of gimmicky, okay, because who decides which of the 12 themes in a particular verse should be colored? So I don't understand how the determinations are made for that, but they've just arbitrarily colored just about every verse with one of 12 colors. So if you want a really colorful Bible, this is the one for you, but I have no idea what good the colors are going to do you, so I'm not big on this one. It has some nice maps in it, but it has very little by the way of study notes. So as far as I know, it's not a bad Bible, it's just not a good one. And then another one that I don't recommend is the Life Application Study Bible. I used to recommend this one, because I thought that it was similar to the Life Application Commentary series, which I have and which is better, okay? But then when I got to looking a little bit closer at the notes in the actual study Bible, I found that this study Bible refuses to provide clear answers, take a clear stand on important questions. So what it does is it presents different views, but then it says you can't really know what it means, or it doesn't really matter what you believe, just be united, that kind of stuff. For example, I'm going to read you a couple of excerpts from this study Bible. Here is a note from the Life Application Study Bible on Genesis 1, 3 through 2, 7. How long did it take God to create the world? There are two basic views about the days of creation. One, each day was a literal 24-hour period. Two, each day represents an indefinite period of time, even millions of years. The Bible does not say how long these time periods were. The real question, however, is not how long God took, but how he did it. God created the earth in an orderly fashion. He did not make plants before light, and he created men and women as unique beings capable of communication with him. No other part of creation can claim that remarkable privilege. It is not important how long it took God to create the world, whether a few days or a few billion years, but that he created it just the way he wanted it. Now, that's what you'd call real clear stand there, isn't it? You know, it doesn't really matter if it was a few days or a few billion years. Take your pick. Here's a note on Revelation 3:10, which is another one that I look at when I look at a study Bible, because it talks about the rapture, so it tells me a lot where they're coming from. Some believe that I will protect you from the great time of testing means there will be a future time of great tribulation from which true believers will be spared. Others interpret this to mean that the church will go through the time of tribulation and that God will keep them strong in the midst of it. Still others believe this refers to times of great distress in general. The church is suffering through the ages. We cannot interpret from this verse when or for how long Christians will experience the great time of testing. In other words, good luck. We have no idea what this verse means. It's kind of like, we don't want to offend anybody, so we'll just offend everybody, I guess. But that study Bible does have, its strength is it has a lot of application to the Christian life, which is why I used to recommend it, but unfortunately the notes are just not trustworthy, so it is no longer on my short list, and I would encourage you to stay away from it. So here's my final recommendations to you. If you're looking for a general purpose study Bible, my number one recommendation to you is the Henry Morris Study Bible. That is my favorite, and I can strongly encourage you to use that. I don't agree with every single thing that he says in there, but by and large, his notes are very reliable. And also, I can recommend to you the King James Study Bible. That would be my second choice. As I said, this study Bible really does not have any significant weaknesses that I have seen. I don't use it myself, so I haven't spent a lot of time using it, but it looks to be quite good and reliable, and I would especially encourage you to check out the new full-color version of it, because that could be a really helpful resource. And then if you're looking for a specific purpose study Bible, the one that I would recommend to you would be the Keyword Study Bible. But as I said before, it really depends on what kind of Bible study you're wanting to do. If you're wanting to do topical study, go with the Thompson chain. If you're wanting to do grammatical study, then use the Keyword Study Bible. So those are my recommendations. I do have the Bibles here available, and I hope that that overview is helpful to you and that you will be able to grab one or two or three or four of those good resources and put them into good use. Let's go ahead and take out our prayer sheets now and take some prayer requests tonight. Next week, we get into the second section of of this series, and it's kind of a test drive. We're going to start working our way through a passage of Scripture, studying that passage, and along the way, I'm going to show you how to use these different Bible study resources so that you have an idea of what they can do for you and how to employ them in your own Bible study. Let me go ahead. I'm going to pull up the YouTube channel here to see if there are any prayer requests. If you want to share a prayer request on the YouTube channel, this would be a good time to do that. I don't see any on there yet, but you still have an opportunity. Okay, on the prayer sheet, we have quite a few updated prayer requests. We got a lot of missionary letters over the Thanksgiving weekend and such, I guess. So do take some time to review these and remember them in prayer. There, by way of announcement, just a reminder that this Saturday is men's breakfast and the Bible study discussion group. So if you're in that, you're taking this class for Institute, then it would be this Saturday because we need the other Saturdays of this month to get ready for the Christmas program. So that is this week. I didn't see a lot of men signed up for men's breakfast yet. Let me encourage you, men. That's a good time of fellowship, important time. I would encourage you to be a part of that, sign up for that. All right, on the reverse side, some prayer requests, updates. Pray for Kayleen as she's been dealing with knee pain and also has upcoming eyelid surgery. Keep praying for Carly, her eye, to improve. Pray for Daryl, Linda Leatherberry's brother, who fell again, has more bleeding in his brain, is in the hospital. So pray for him. Patty Jensen, Andy Fry's sister, did pass away. Please pray for Andy and the family. Wesley had his surgery yesterday for his tonsils and adenoids and the tubes and the ears and such. So pray for his recovery. Pray for Daniel, who's continuing to pursue treatment for his spinal cord cyst. On the bottom there, prayer was asked last week for Mark's friend Coram, who's having eye issues, to pray for the Nelson's neighbor who's having spikes in heart rate and blood pressure, and Zoe's friend who recently found herself as a single mother with kids. So those were the latest updates there. Does anybody have a new request tonight or an update to share? Judy.
Praise the Lord.
Good to have you back.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
And yesterday, after I went to the doctor's office, I was able to talk to a young lady. Her name is Debbie.
Debbie?
And she admitted that she is struggling with her faith in the Lord. And I just asked her if I could pray for her over the counter if I was buying something. And she said yes, please. So just open it up. Her name is Debbie. And the Lord will just really call.
Okay. All right, so Judy had a chance to talk to a lady named Debbie yesterday. Pray that God would work in her heart, bring her to salvation. There was another hand back here, Rebecca. Okay, great. Update. Okay, update as Rebecca's co-worker and her baby are fine. They're at home doing well. Praise the Lord. Josh.
I have praise as well. We raised money for the camp for a matching gift, and we did as of last week.
Amen. 10,000 came in. Yeah, so the gift is matched. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Any other prayer requests? All right. Looking around. Don't see any hands. So let's go ahead and divide up at this time for prayer, and we'll spend some time together praying about these needs. You're dismissed to pray.